Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The FT.
The FT Arts Podcast is brought to you by Vacheron Constantin.
This is the latest in our series, The Life of a Song, and I'm David Cheel. This week, Auld Lang Syne. In the closing scene of the 1989 rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, the titular friends-turned-lovers have kissed at a New Year party. Auld Lang Syne is playing. Harry, Billy Crystal, is struck by a thought. What does this song mean? My whole life, I don't know what this song means. I mean, should old acquaintance be forgot? Does that mean that we should forget old acquaintances? Or does it mean if we happen to forget them, we should remember them, which is not possible because we already forgot? Sally, played by Meg Ryan, responds, well, maybe it just means that we should remember that we forgot them or something. Anyway, it's about old friends. Sally has hit the nail on the head. The title of this sentimental air translates from Lowland Scots as Old Long Since, and it's about reunions as much as separations. But where did it spring from? In the latter years of his life, the poet Robert Burns became an avid collector of Scottish folk songs and ballads, and having heard Auld Lang Syne from an old man in 1788, he transcribed and embellished this exceedingly expressive Lowland song. Burns sent the lyric to two publishers. The first was James Johnson, who included it in a collection called the Scots Musical Museum, 1796. In this version, it was set to an old Scottish melody that Burns himself did not much care for. The second was George Thompson, who published it in A Select Collection of Original Scottish Airs in 1799, 3 years after Burns's death. It was set to a tune known as Sir Alexander Don's Strathspey, a strathspey being a kind of dance. And it's this tune that is widely sung today. The song quickly became popular at Hogmanay gatherings, and as the Scots diaspora scattered around the globe, the song travelled with them. In today's parlance, it went viral. In the 1914 Christmas truce, British and German troops emerged from their trenches to play football and sing Auld Lang Syne. The song has also become hugely popular in Southeast Asia, and many Japanese department stores play Auld Lang Syne over the PA system to signify that they are closing. International scout jamborees often close with it. Even before the arrival of the talkies, Hollywood had cottoned on to the song's potency, often using it to highlight unhappiness through juxtaposition. In Charlie Chaplin's 1925 silent weepy, The Gold Rush, revelers in a saloon bar link hands to sing Auld Lang Syne, while Chaplin's character mopes in his cabin. It features in the tearful climax to It's a Wonderful Life, 1946. Billy Wilder's 1960 classic, The Apartment, ends with Shirley MacLaine, miserable at a New Year's party with the dreadful Mr. Sheldrake, as the band play Auld Lang Syne, before she takes her leave and ends up playing cards with Jack Lemmon. And while it may seem sacrilege to mention 2008's Sex and the City movie in the same paragraph as these classics, that film does feature a moving New Year montage with Auld Lang Syne in its original melody, beautifully sung by Mary Campbell. As for recorded versions, it was first committed to gramophone disc in 1890 by Emil Berliner, the inventor of the medium. Through the crackles, he can be heard making the common mistake of pronouncing sign as zine. Elvis, Hendrix and Springsteen have covered it. It is perhaps best to draw a veil over the 1976 disco version by the Sal Soul Orchestra and Cliff Richard's exquisitely awful millennium mashup with the Lord's Prayer as a lyric, and celebrate instead its appearance on a 2011 song called New Year's Eve. This wonderfully woozy, boozy ballad twice breaks into Auld Lang Syne. The singer? There can surely be no voice better suited to the song's slurring small hours sentimentality than that of Tom Waits.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.